So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the white nationalist frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia, right here on KKK Radio. Hey y'all, and welcome to Freedom Rings. Now, I know you probably noticed there was a little difference in the intro on this, and if you remember from last week, this is, of course, the 200th episode of Freedom Rings. So, I decided to change things up a little bit. We have a new intro, and a few things will change from here on out. After the past 4 years, things get a little bit boring. So we are going to change a few things from here on out. It's being updated, and it is going to be awesome, folks. So again, just letting you know, I'm recording this show ahead of time, and as you know, I've had a problem with a couple of teeth in my head over the past couple of weeks. So I am recording this ahead of time over the weekend. I know the show airs on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but I am recording it over the weekend because on Monday I have an appointment with the dentist to have the remainder of the tooth that I pulled pulled out, as well as the wisdom tooth where the major infection is. So in that aspect, I figured it would be in my best interest to do this ahead of time because I have no idea what's going to happen when those teeth get pulled out. I had a tooth pulled out in 2003 and it really, it screwed me up for a couple of weeks. And the fact that I'm speaking, I need to be able to speak coherently. So I don't want to come on here and be under the influence of whatever it is they're going to give me to kill the pain, as well as still having my swollen tongue and everything else. And folks, I gotta tell you, the past couple of weeks, you've heard a difference. You can hear it right now. My tongue is actually 1/2 inch wider and 1/2 inch longer than it was 6 weeks ago. So I have this very thick tongue, and it's because it's swollen. And hopefully getting these teeth pulled will fix that, because it's just horrible. When I open my mouth and look in the mirror, my tongue fills my entire mouth. It doesn't go between my teeth unless I pull it in, and it's just absolutely horrible. And that's what's giving me this really, and I'm going to accentuate it here, folks, this really thick tongue thing here. Yeah, well, that's because my tongue is so wide because it's swollen. So I hope that goes away. But anyway, getting back to what we're dealing with here. Once again, this show is pre-recorded. From here on out, I will refer to everything that I'm talking about in the past tense, so it doesn't sound odd. So on that note, once again, you are tuning in to the 200th episode of Freedom Rings. I can't believe it's been 4 years, folks. But on that note, George, go ahead and roll the special intro.
Thank you.
not that one. I thought we agreed you were going to update that since you learned how to play the electric ukulele. Much better. Okay, so before I go any further, before the double intro there, I was talking about having these two teeth pulled. Now, I had a wisdom tooth pulled back in 2003, and it was not a very pleasant experience. I was on vacation visiting my girlfriend at the time out in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and I had cracked my tooth a few weeks prior to that, but I woke up one morning in extreme agony because somehow or another air had gotten down to the root overnight. So we ended up going to the ER and I had them pull the tooth. So by the time we got out of there, we were getting kind of hungry. So it was getting up around lunchtime and we went over to a Chinese buffet. And because I had just had this tooth pulled, I didn't want to try and eat anything, you know, really normal food. I wanted something soft. So I ordered a couple of egg rolls because I figured, yeah, that's just cabbage and stuff. It's fairly soft. Well, my girlfriend ordered the food bar. So she went up and she got her food and she sat down. She started eating and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting on my egg rolls. And they never showed up. So finally, she went up and she got a little bowl of soup and came back and gave to me to have something in my stomach while I was waiting on my food. And all of a sudden, the woman comes running out. Oh, no, no, you can't have food from there. You have that. You pay for a bar. I'm like, fine. Yeah, whatever. I'm in a lot of pain here, so just bring me my food, okay? So she finally brought my egg rolls out, and we finished eating, and we got up to leave. Not only did I not leave a tip, I pulled a wad of bloody gauze out of my mouth and left it right in the middle of the table for her, and we turned and walked out the door. So that's my little tooth pulling story. Hopefully the same thing won't happen this time around. Oh, and for the record, that's actually some teenage kid banging on a plastic garbage can and playing an electric guitar in his room. That was not producer George, but it's a good intro anyway. So I want to talk to you a little bit, because I still haven't really decided what I'm going to do with the show yet. It's kind of flowing however it goes. I may use some best of stuff in here, but I'm at least going to start out just touching base on Parkland once again and the fallout from that insanity. Of course, the state of Florida has passed a law now raising the minimum age to buy a rifle from 18 to 21, which, in my opinion, is a violation of the Constitution, because the Constitution lays out the rules you have the right to bear arms, and the United States has voted on this as a country to raise the minimum age to purchase a handgun from 18 to 21, but that is a federal law, and I don't believe a state can supersede a federal law. So I'm pleased to announce that the NRA has already filed a lawsuit against the state of Florida for this egregious act that challenges our right to own a firearm, and it challenges the Second Amendment of the Constitution. And secondly, if you remember last week, I told you I wished that I was 19, 20, 18, somewhere in that area, so that I could go in and try and buy a gun, get turned down and file suit. Well, folks, it has already happened. Young man, about 20 years old, I think he is. I'm not sure where he is, because I didn't pick this up, somebody related to me, but he has filed a lawsuit against, it's either Walmart or Dick's, for age discrimination. Well, hallelujah, brother, it's about time. I'm sick and tired of these companies just arbitrarily deciding that they are going to violate our laws. And it's usually, folks, if you notice, it's usually when American companies are bought out, by British companies. Now, a good case of that was Smith & Wesson back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when it was bought out by a British company, and they immediately stopped all sales to private individuals and decided they were only going to sell to law enforcement. And that's where the boycott Smith & Wesson campaign came from. And they lost a ton of sales real quick and changed that back in a hurry. But again, it's just like Yum Brands when they bought out Kentucky Fried Chicken. When Kentucky Fried Chicken went from Kentucky Fried Chicken to KFC, that was after Yum Brands, who also owned Pepsi, and they owned Taco Bell, and a ton of other stores. They decided that they were going to start using chickens from around the world, therefore they could not call it Kentucky Fried Chicken, shortened it to KFC for advertising purposes. That's when Russ Buehler came along, and then they changed the KFC to stand for Kitchen Fresh Chicken, and it completely ruined the whole image of Kentucky Fried Chicken. They have since begun calling it Kentucky Fried Chicken again, but still refer to it as KFC. And now they've got these absolute asinine commercials out there with these comedians dressed up to look like Colonel Sanders. And, of course, the latest one that really gets me is Reba McEntire trying to be Colonel Sanders. For some reason, they seem to think that this is funny. And, folks, it's not funny. Colonel Sanders was not a comedian. He was not a comic. He was not that kind of a man. I had the opportunity to meet Colonel Sanders when I was about 2 or 3 years old. He used to go to all the new stores when they would open up for an afternoon or a morning, depending upon where it was, and he would stand there in the store by the door and greet the customers as they came in to his new store. And I remember my dad picking me up, and he was a very kindly-looking old man. He was very friendly. He shook my hand. He said something to me, which I don't remember anymore. That's been 47, 48 years ago. But I clearly remember how kindly this man was. And these stupid-ass commercials do nothing except tarnish the image of this guy. So I've gone off a little on tangent there. didn't mean to do that. We were busy talking about some other things, and as usual, I went somewhere else. But still a little anecdotal story there. I mean, how many of us around now can actually say that we met Colonel Sanders? But getting back to Florida, I think it's about time that perhaps sportsmen and gun owners start boycotting the state of Florida altogether. Maybe some of these gun manufacturers can refuse to send their firearms to the state of Florida. If you remember when California banned the 50 BMG round and all its rifles, Barrett Firearms said that they were not going to sell to even the law enforcement departments in the state of California that owned them. They would not fix the ones that had already been sent out, and they would not send any new ones. So I hope that the gun manufacturers get together and do something very similar in the state of Florida, because I tell you what, folks, it won't be too long before these big gun companies, or when I say I mean the retailers, not the big sporting goods stores themselves, but all your mom-and-pop gun stores, will be beating on the door in Tallahassee to get that portion of the law overturned, because it's going to hurt them financially very, very badly. That was a stupid move on their part. Now, the other half of that that does make sense was putting guns in the hands of teachers who are qualified to use them. But banning a law-abiding citizen from being able to own a gun at a certain age is absolute lunacy. It will not stop anything. Because if they want to get these guns, guess what, folks? There's something called a state line, and people are going to go across the state lines. And even if an adjacent state will not sell to them, recognizing that they're from Florida, they'll still be able to go to the gun shows. They'll still be able to buy them. Nobody's going to question it. These laws don't work. They're asinine, and they accomplish nothing but more of that feel-goodism that you get after a tragedy when you pass legislation that takes away yet another constitutional right. Well, regarding the government, let's look in a different direction. Let's do a 180 here and talk about something positive that our government is actually doing. Have you heard of the new class of aircraft carriers that we've come out with? It's called the Ford class, after Gerald R. Ford. The first ship to be released was the Gerald R. Ford, and they are the new class of aircraft carrier. They're replacing the Nimitz class, which is still one hell of a technically advanced vessel, folks, don't get me wrong. But they've come out with a ship that's bigger, it's got a lot more gadgets on it, it's got surface-to-air missiles. It's awesome that they have replaced. Did I mention they cost $13 billion apiece? In the event that I didn't, yeah, they're costing us $13 billion apiece. That's almost twice what Donald Trump is worth. And speaking of Donald Trump, he took a tour aboard the Gerald R. Ford to see how it operated. If you're familiar with our aircraft carriers of the past, they use steam to launch the planes off the deck and into the air. Well, they have replaced that technology with electromagnetism. Basically, it's a giant railgun that fires these ships, or I'm sorry, these planes off the deck of these ships in a shorter range and at a higher velocity, which initially sounds really good, except that they have been having some glitches with the computer system because these things, like everything else now, are entirely computer-driven, and they're having problems with them. So Donald Trump was taking a tour on one of these things, and he asked whoever was giving him the tour, he said, "You don't use steam anymore for a catapult?" And he said, "No, sir." So Donald Trump said, "How's that working?" And the reply was, "Sir, not good. Not good." So Donald Trump said, "It sounded bad to me. Digital. They have digital. What is digital? And it's very complicated. You have to be Albert Einstein to figure it out." And I said, "And now they want to buy more aircraft carriers." I said, "What system are you going to be?" And he was interrupted, "Sir, we're staying with digital." I said, "No, you're not. You're going to goddamn steam. The digital costs hundreds of millions of dollars, more money, and it's no good." So once again, Trump just coming out, being Donald Trump, speaking his mind and saying exactly what we're all thinking. Get rid of all this computerized crap. We rely too much upon it. And once again, that's another step in the right direction. Saving money where it needs to be saved. Not replacing technology where it shouldn't be replaced. And good for you, Don. Now, notice that I called him Don and not Mr. President. That's something that I do. When I used to have to deal in politics with the mayor, or later on as the governor, I never refer to him as mayor or governor. I refer to him as Pat. When I met the President of the United States, I called him George. I do not put titles ahead of things. I do not refer to a veterinarian or a doctor or a dentist as doctor. I refer to them by name, and it's because I've been in politics for so long, being around these people and being in acting and dealing with actors, that I just call everybody by their name, not by their title. Now, I suppose they feel that they've worked hard to deserve that title, but by the same token, they're still the same person they were before they went to school to get that title. Now, sometimes they come out with this big title and they grow a long beard and call themselves professor and strut around campus like they're made of something different than you and I are, but they're not. And on that note, I am one of the leading experts in the world on a very incredibly rare tree. It's critically endangered. And you need to be taught when you're going through forestry school or silviculture class, and that's silva, not silver, silviculture class, you have to learn about pretty much every tree that's out there. And there's so little known about this particular tree that I have, I get several emails a week, and I'd say probably close to 20 to 25% are from .edu addresses. They are professors who know nothing about this tree because there is no class about this tree because it's still being learned about. So these professors contact me with certain questions that they can then get the answers and teach in their class with the 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is required, about this particular tree. So I actually have professors contacting me to learn from me. Did I go to school for that? No, I did not. And now I'm teaching the professors, which is kind of cool. And I know that sounds narcissistic, and I don't mean it to be. There is actually a moral to this story. The moral to the story is I have no title in front of my name, and those that do are learning from me. Oh my goodness, I'm at 20 minutes into the show already. I think what I'm going to do for the remainder, folks, being that this is the special that it is, I'm just going to run some funny commercials for the duration. It's been serious for the first two-thirds. The last third is going to be somewhat lighthearted. So I'll be back right before the very end. So don't go anywhere.
They have been mistreated and misunderstood for generations. Abusive owners have done severe damage and given these beautiful creatures a bad reputation. Every day, millions suffer from misuse and neglect. But you can make a difference by giving a gun a loving home. These guns want nothing more than to adore and protect you. And Blackstone Shooting Sports wants to match you with a new gun and a new addition to your family. The friendly and professional staff at Blackstone are experts and know how to find the perfect firearm to fit your lifestyle. And Blackstone Shooting Sports has the kind of guns that need a loving home more than anything else, like AK-47s, AR-15s, and the best and biggest selection of handguns in government. So please, have a heart, and don't let a gun spend another night on a cold, dusty shelf.
Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat. Turn around, don't drown, your car, it will not float. So when the water starts to rise, open your eyes, have yourself a plan. Use your head and think, don't let your dreams sink, it's just that easy you can. Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat.
Missing persons.
Missing persons.
Missing persons.
My wife is missing.
Your wife is missing.
My wife is missing.
When did you last see her?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Where's your TV, sir?
The bedroom.
Have you looked in the bedroom, sir?
No.
She's probably watching Matlock.
Matlock is on at 4 o'clock?
Every weekday at 4 on Channel 2. Go check your bedroom, sir. I'll wait.
Okay.
I'm here.
She's watching Matlock.
I thought so.
I didn't know Matlock was on at 4 o'clock.
Every weekday at 4 on Channel 2.
She really likes Andy Griffith.
Of course she does.
She must be so engrossed by Matlock she forgot to tell me where she was.
Tell her I understand.
Okay, I'll be right back.
No, I didn't mean, sir.
Matlock, every weekday at 4 on Channel 2.
Hey, my favorite episode.
Because there's nothing like a good mystery.
I'm hanging up now, sir. Hello?
Come see the world's tallest chair. Take your family to a magical place. It's a super big chair off of Route 88. Get a picture of the chair, now we know that you're sold. But don't sit in the chair, cause it's really old. Come see the world's tallest chair.
Yeah.
Look sharp, it's the Pin Cushion Palace.
Kids are on vacation and they want something to do.
The Pincushion Palace is the place for you.
Bring your family, look around,
but don't touch the pins.
Legally, we're required to say,
don't touch the pins.
Yeah! Look sharp, it's the Pincushion Palace.
Hello, everyone. This is Mortimer J. Steinberg for Snake Farm Insurance. Recently, I received a claim for fire damage due to arson. I immediately boarded our corporate jet, paid for with your premiums, and flew to Epley Airfield in Omaha, Nebraska, where I then took a taxi to a little town called Bellevue. In case you're wondering, yes, your premiums also paid the $76.77 fare for the taxi company, but don't be alarmed. Your share only covers 1/15,000th of the cost. With everyone's monthly contributions, this cost will be overridden in 3.5 seconds. In fact, there, it's done. In fact, we are now making profits over and above those expenses. Thanks to you. Now, I met our policyholder, a man by the name of Mr. Wilson, at what was left of his house. I dragged a lawn chair onto the smoldering ruins of what had once been his front porch and listened to his rationalization of why we should cover his claim. Well, it seems that Dennis, the menacing skinhead boy from next door, had approached Mr. Wilson demanding some shaving cream money. and when Mr. Wilson refused, Dennis set fire to his house. So I offered Mr. Wilson a copy of his policy, since his had been destroyed in the fire, and I explained that Snake Farm does not cover acts of domestic terrorism. In fact, I actually lent Mr. Wilson my magnifying glass so that he could read the fine print for himself. You see, that is the extra mile that Snake Farm will take for you. I can honestly say that no other insurance company would have made the effort that I made for Mr. Wilson. That magnifying glass cost me 3 boxes of Cracker Jacks. And on a side note, I did give Mr. Wilson the stickers and the bucking bronc that came with the 2 other boxes. Now, can you name another company that will go that extra mile? I think not. So once again, that is the service that you will get with Snake Farm Insurance. Don't forget to mention me, Mortimer J. Steinberg, when you call to sign up. Our number is 1-800-ABC-DEFU. And remember our jingle. And like a bad neighbor, Snake Farm is gone. Well, as you can see, that brought me amazingly close to where I needed to be for the outro to begin. You can hear it going on in the background. That was pretty good timing on my part. But I tell you what, I have a lot of fun when I get to run those. Some of those, I mean, obviously, I did the Snake Farm spoof myself, but those other ones are real commercials, folks, taken off of the radio. And sometimes you just can't beat the stuff that's not supposed to be funny at all. So that's going to do it for this episode of Freedom Rings. Again, this was a huge milestone here, the 200th episode. I have been with you for 4 years, certainly hope to be with you for another 4 and then some. So to everyone who has tuned in here via White Radio, KKK Radio, and AltRight.com, I want to thank you very much for listening to my show, and I will be back next week as usual. Hopefully my tongue will have lost some of the swelling in it, and I will sound a little bit better. I really hate sounding like Mr. Spock off of Star Trek all the time here. And then again, I don't know, I may have a mouthful of gauze, and I may sound just as retarded for another reason. But anyway, we'll get through it together. So once again, my friends, thank you all so much for tuning into the show. I love you all. I really appreciate you listening to me. It means a lot. And I hope you get out of it as much as I do from what I put into it. So, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till then, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.